Many's the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken, and certainly misused. Oh, but I'm all right, I'm all right, just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home. So far away from home.
So we're going to talk about the Homeland season finale, which aired about a week ago, just over a week ago. And I've already done the podcast with Ashley and Cynthia, but I wanted to talk to you about it, first of all, because everyone loved hearing the conversation that we had earlier in the season. But I also think that this was a very traumatic episode for a lot of people. And I think that you have a unique perspective in terms of how you watch the show, because I think in some realm you do watch as a casual viewer, like you just watch from week to week and that's kind of it, but also you are my mother, and so I obviously there's some natural like wear off in terms of, you know, my obsession of the show, you know, does wear off on you a little bit.
So I'd like to say I thought everybody was incredibly kind with their feedback on that first podcast, which was my first podcast, and that made me feel really good, and it was great. That was really my first introduction to your blog, and seeing how everybody there interacts, and that was great. And I did listen to the podcast that you and Ashley and Cynthia did last week, so I'm certainly not coming into this completely unaware about what some of the issues are that people are dealing with.
Yeah, so I mean, let's just like jump straight into that. First of all, Ashley and I were tabulating the results of the poll that we did, and the first issue is that we came up with different winners, which was the problem. That was the first issue, is that she said this person won, and I said, okay, I'm just gonna do like a quick check, right, of the arithmetic and make sure everything was added up correctly. And I said, I came up with, like, I have different results than you. And she said, how is that possible? I said, I don't know. But you did enter into that, and you didn't think that anyone would die. You said, no one will die, or like none of the main characters will die. And from the looks of it, this is the assumption that I'm operating under, is that Quinn died. And I remember very vividly too, Mom, after the season 5 finale, which aired right before Christmas.
Oh yeah, we were totally in agreement. Yeah, oh totally.
Well yeah, I remember you picked me up from the airport and we started talking about the finale, and I was like, he's totally dead, he's so dead. And like I kind of felt like you weren't totally convinced but went along with what I was saying because I believed
it
so strongly. Oh no,
he was dead.
Oh, okay. Well, I remember too, like when we were talking to Katie before season 6 started, and we said that he was alive, and she was like, what? He is alive? Like she totally thought, that's my sister, but she totally thought that he had.
Right. I mean.
Right, had died after season 5. Yeah. Anyways, but now it seems like that it has happened.
He had bullets in his chest and blood. I think this time we can't just assume that he's going to come back to life. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah,
so,
I think he's
so
dead,
either. Yes. And so you're right. I'm not sure that I thought it took me a while to fill out the poll on LiveJournal, and I went back and forth a bunch of times, and then of course failed to record where I ended up. And so I'm glad I ended up saying nobody was going to die, because maybe I started thinking that Dar would, but as I worked through the rest of the questions, I couldn't come up with any reasonable scenario that would have him be killed. And so I backed away from that.
Well, actually, it was actually really interesting reading people's results because some people had conflicting answers. So they'd say no one's going to die, but also there was a question about, like, you know, what would happen to Dar, and they would say, you know,
oh, he dies.
Right, he's going to be killed. Right. And then, well, the way that it was formulated is like you could do multiple choice for some of them. So some people, I think, strategically said no one's going to die and these people are going to die because of the way that the points worked. Anyways.
Yeah, which you guys made that super complicated. I'm not even sure that I actually understand how it's going to get tabulated in the end. So I'll just trust you and Ashley.
Yeah, an Excel spreadsheet is how we did it. And I was like,
okay,
there must be an easier way to do this. But
yeah, we still so anyway, I mean, I certainly, yeah, so anyways. it was interesting, though. So I guess we're just going to talk right out about Quinn dying, right?
I mean, what do you think? First of all, I did not think he would die. Well, every single year that I've had this blog, people have been.
Honestly, I didn't, certainly didn't think it, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as I found out that he died, it made all kinds of sense to me. Wow. I wasn't surprised anymore. So I'm.
Explain and talk through why you weren't surprised when you read that?
So it seemed like from the rest of the way the episode played out and what they were doing with the whole CIA conspiracy theory, and, you know, Keane's now the president, the whole fake facts, alternative fiction, whatever we call that thing, is still going on. I mean, there really wasn't a way for Quinn to be part of that. And so it felt like they were trying to make the story be very much centered around the homeland and having Quinn go off, you know, someplace else and try to recover himself and come back just, you know, was superfluous to where things, I think, ended up. Hmm. Like that scene with Carrie overlooking the Capitol Dome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I just couldn't ever see Quinn as a part of that.
Yeah. That's really, I mean, what was shocking to me, and I spent many years talking people kind of back from the ledge. They said, oh my God, I'm so afraid he's going to die. I'm serious, every single year. And I would be like, there's no way, like, it doesn't make sense. And the reasoning that I had this year, even though he was in a pretty bad way throughout the entire season, was whatever forces that kept him alive after season 5, when I totally thought he was dead and voiced and projected that belief far and wide. Well, he didn't die. He was kept alive. Whatever forces, and I'm talking here forces from like a meta perspective, like take yourself outside the narrative of the show and put yourself into the shoes of the people who are writing it. They committed, I thought, pretty firmly, you know, at the end of season 5 to killing him, and they crafted a storyline in which he died and there was grief and mourning, etc., and the letter and like all that other kind of stuff, and then he didn't die. And I was like, they went totally, like, they went as far as you can go without just being like, yep, he's dead, without actually doing that. And I said, whatever reason they decided to keep him alive at the end of season 5, like, has to still exist. Like, nothing could have changed. That was the reasoning that I made. It had really very little to do with the story and a lot to do with what I believed the story that the writers were trying to tell. And then that turned out to be actually completely the opposite of the truth, is that I think kind of what we've maybe come to see is that they gave us 12 more episodes of him instead of depriving us of 2 more seasons after this. So the original plan was actually to kill him in season 5, but they decided to keep him on for another season to do something or other. And we got 12 more episodes than probably originally we should have. And actually, kind of another thing too that is really interesting. And I mean, we're speculating wildly right now because the showrunners and the writers and the producers haven't really said why this happened. They did a lot of press in the week leading up to the finale and have not said anything since. And so people are just kind of spinning their wheels and formulating theories as to how this happened, because it really doesn't make sense to a lot of people. But one thing that Alex Gonza has said, he's the showrunner and the creator and like the head writer, he's like, they kind of reworked the entire season after the election because, you know, obviously they thought that Hillary would win, and when that didn't happen they were like, what the hell are we supposed to do? And reworked a lot of the plot of the season after that. And it seems like that perhaps, you know, when the season started they didn't intend for him to die at the end, but for some reason decided that it was time to do that at the end. And that doesn't quite make sense to me, although I totally get what you're saying of like the second half of the episode and the plot that they were kind of spinning, I think, for maybe next season or season after. But like Carrie coming back into the intelligence world, this president who has set herself up as the opponent of that, looking out over the National Mall or the Capitol or whatever, mm-hmm. and just being like so alone, like Quinn doesn't fit into that picture. But it's also because at that point he was gone. Like if the writers and then I think it's like if they want to tell a story in which he did fit into that, they could have found a way, don't you think? Like they could have found a way to do that. They somehow found a way to fit in like a Quinn who's half paralyzed and like as far outside of the intelligence world and as far away from an action hero as possible. Like they found a way to do it this year. Like it wasn't very good storytelling in my opinion, and it wasn't like kind of a weird plot, but they like found a way to do that, which just makes me think that they just didn't want to tell the story anymore. Like they didn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it's really interesting to think that, you know, if it season six playing out the way that it did only played out, and Quinn actually played a pretty major role in this season. And so if they hadn't planned for him to be in it, so this isn't like Harry Potter where J.K. Rowling, you know, kind of knew what she was going to write about the whole time. I mean, I guess these guys really don't have any idea where they're taking the story. But
does that bother you as a viewer?
No. But it makes trying to figure out what they're doing and where they're going and all that probably hard, because I'm guessing from day to day it probably changes. You know, J.K. Yeah. Rowling knew the story that she was writing when she started, and so we were kind of all trying to figure out the same endpoint. It wasn't like she was changing her mind on us, and I feel like the Homeland writers have clearly changed their mind on things, at least, you know, from season five to season six, and who knows what's going to happen going forward. But I did feel like, you know, season six wrapped up in a way that felt like the season ended. Mm-hmm. Left me interested to find out what's going to happen with Carrie going forward, and the other main characters. So there isn't a Quinn, but, you know, there's still a Saul, there's still a Dar, there's still a Carrie.
Yeah. I think this gets to an interesting question of, and this is a very, I mean, it's a loaded question, but why do you watch Homeland?
Well, it's not really that loaded. So primarily I watch it so I have something interesting to talk with you about every week. I mean, I was thinking about it today that I started watching Homeland about the same time you did, back in what, 2012?
I feel like I watched it. I first started watching it in the fall of 2012. Okay. I need everyone that I know, like everyone around me, to watch this so I can talk to somebody about it.
Right. And so that's when I started. And so now it's, you know, 4.5 years later. And I guess there were television shows that I watched you know, that long, mm-hmm. but I'm not, you know, but not ones that I've consistently watched. You know,
you
like
didn't watch it all in real time. I'm like suddenly now remembering times when I came home for like, I think like Christmas of 2014, the first Christmas after I moved away to Madison, I mm-hmm. came home and I feel like we like binged watched season 4, like up until yeah. that point. And that was a really difficult. And,
like, well, remember and the so beginning of season 4 I got is like a little bit turned off from the show and,
yeah.
with the whole Brody thing. What happened in what way? Like season 3 was just not very fun to watch. Yeah. And I watched it through season 3 and then I just got
so not but, fun to watch like because why?
Cuz you know the subject matter was just really difficult. It was hard to follow the plot sometimes. There was I'm not sure that I ever really liked Carrie and Brody together. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get the motivation that either one of them had to do what they did. And then wasn't that the season 2 that had the whole bizarre thing where they gave the vice president a heart attack?
Oh, that was at the end of season 2.
Oh, all
with
right.
With the pacemaker?
Well, yeah. So season 3 then was the season where Brody's hiding out in some bombed out something down in Central or South America.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes real life is difficult enough. I don't need to tune it in on television.
Oh my god, that's exactly what I've been saying. That's exactly what I'm... So, it's a really good point because even though season 3 was not good and is probably my least favorite season of all of them, like, it was just, like, not good at some points. It mm-hmm. finished out really strongly and I think it was actually a very, like, fitting and beautiful end for Brody's character and for the relationship he had with Carrie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that dark. It was definitely the darkest season that they've done to date. And each of them kind of gets progressively darker. But like this season, Mom, was like so bleak. Like the part, like especially related to Quinn, his entire demeanor, his condition. Astrid died or like was mm-hmm. murdered. Franny like was taken away in the middle of the season. Then Carrie fell off the wagon. Like, Max was, like, tortured. It was just, like, so dark and so bleak. And, like, this show used to, like, be fun. And it used to have an element of, you know, spy plotting and, you know, espionage thriller sort of tropes that were, like, really fun to watch. Like, especially in seasons 1 and 2, actually. Like, it was fun. And, like, there were characters who, like... like their purpose on the show is to bring in like some sort of like, I don't know, like they had like a comedic touch to them and there's like no character really like that anymore. And it's kind of, I totally agree with you that like real world is kind of depressing enough. And like, as much as I do watch the show because, you know, of all kinds of reasons, like it is entertainment at the end of the day. And there were times this season where I was like, this is so relentlessly bleak. And I never, yeah. I don't know, like, I used to get really anxious, you know, before the start of an episode, and I still do, but I also kind of get now this, like, sunken in feeling where I'm just like, the next, like, hour is just going to be, like, hell. Like, it's going to be so depressing. They take Carrie to like really dark places, and they take a lot of the other characters, especially Quinn too, they took him to really dark places. And I was also thinking too, like related to real world events, they have kind of taken on this interest, the writers I mean, in kind of having the plot of the season sort of like the background plot, because you know there's like every season of Homeland has a background plot and there's like a character sort of arc or journey. And the background plot, in my opinion, should never take precedence over the character arc or journey. I'm not really watching the show for like a plot. I'm watching it because of the characters whom I love. And, you know, somewhere like along the line, they became very interested in having the plot be relevant to kind of real world events, you know? So like in season 4, they went to
Yeah, and I think that's because they were successful in having that happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were successful.
Like, they did some things, and then those things happened.
And then those things actually happened. Like, and I think too, there was kind of a feedback loop where they did that, and it happened, and they got more attention, and so they wanted to do it more. But when Alex Gonza talks about rewriting the plot of the season in the middle of it because Trump was elected, I'm like, dude, like, who cares? Like, honestly, when the show started in 2011, Obama's in the White House. We all know, like, the politics of the show and like, of the writers and producers match up with that. Like, we didn't really have to contend with, like, a crazy person in the White House or, like, a corrupt president. Like, we have one of those now. And watching one of those in real life is just, like, not interesting to me because it's, like, actually scary that it's happening in real life. And I, like, really don't want to watch a television show where there's a corrupt president. Like, we have one of those.
Yeah. That
that's what I kind of really
struggled
with.
Actually, I felt like Keane was not going to be a corrupt president.
It didn't totally. I was actually, I mean, I liked the twist, like, in the moment, but I hope that she's not, like, a prominent character in future seasons, because I was talking to someone and they said, like, the idea of the president just kind of takes you a little bit out of the show, you know, like, mm-hmm. In previous seasons, maybe there was a little bit of focus on the vice president, but, like, the president of the United States, like, Carrie being an advisor to the president of the United States is a little bit farcical.
Yeah, so there was a whole lot about this season that just, you know, didn't really kind of fit with what they'd done. It, certainly, you know, bringing it home and, like you said, you know, having the president be a main character was just really different from what they'd done before.
Like, I kind of feel a little bit like the season was hinging a lot on what the finale made of it. Like, there are some seasons of the show where it's like, okay, you need the finale to really, like, drive this home and, like, to make it all land. And there, I mean, probably most seasons of the show, but this season especially, the finale was really important in terms of framing what does the entire season mean, and
setting the direction for the next season.
Yeah, but what they ended up saying with this is what the entire season means was not really a message I was prepared to receive or really liked at the end of the day. And you know me, like, it takes a lot for me to be like, I did not like this for this show. Like, for the most part, so, my opinions are positive, and I mean, they're strong, but for the most part they're positive. Like, when I think back to the other podcast we recorded for this season was after episode 5, which was the episode where it starts out, like, right after the bombing in Manhattan, and you know, there's kind of the domestic scenes of Quinn and Franny, and there ends up being, like, the hostage situation, and there's some, like, pretty I don't know, like, bleak moments in, like, the Carrie Quinn relationship. But I was, like, thinking at the beginning of the season, I felt like they kind of pushed the Carrie Quinn button pretty hard to be like, this is, like, a romance, you know? Remember, like, the scene at the end of episode 2 when she's sitting on his bed and she shows him the video and he asks why he saved her and she kind of breaks down crying? Like, that to me was like, I was like, this is, like, she's in love with him. Like, that's a love story. Even up to the penultimate episode, like, there were points where I was like, yep, like, this is a love story that they're telling. She can't communicate that love that she has for him, but, like, I believe fully. And, like, they wouldn't be showing us these scenes if they didn't intend to, like, eventually, like, see that through. And then
they showed that, then they showed the awkward moment the beginning of the very next show, the awkward hug that
the hug, yeah
right, and yeah. Then I forgot what the next one. Clearly they were trying to set up it was the interview that she had with the psychologist.
Yeah, what was that about?
where, yeah. And so I think that they were trying to make it very clear that Carrie was in love with Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
We already knew that Quinn was in love with Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he died. He died a hero, and, you know, that's it. And that kind of thing happens in books all the time. Does it not happen in TV shows all the time?
I think what people were having trouble with is that, especially after the therapist scene, where she literally compares the relationship she has with Quinn mm-hmm. to the one she had with Brody, and she talks very openly and in a self-aware way about how she knew that she knew that Brody was going to die. She led him into the mission instead, knowing the result of that. And then she says, I can't let that happen, like, with Quinn. Like, I can't lose another one, is what she says. And they set up this idea of Carrie putting the mission over the people around her, which is something, of course, she does all the time, I think, without even thinking about it. But the fact that they had her acknowledge that and be like, yep, this is something that I do and I can't do it this time, I was like, it's not going to happen this time. Like, there can be no way that someone who is, like, aware of that flaw in their character, like, at least on a television show, like, how can they let it happen again? I mean, because it's a television show, it is not real life. Like, if we're suddenly applying, like, the laws of real life to Homeland, then, like, we've got a way, like, way bigger problem. But in the context of it being a narrative in which we've already seen Carrie be in love with another person, and put the mission over his own well-being and his own safety, and have that end tragically, we already saw that with Brody. And I think that's another reason why people didn't think it would happen with Quinn, is like, what's different about it? Or is that the point? It's just like, it happened again.
I think that, although it sounds, when you put it that way, like everything was the same about it, but I think a whole lot of things were different about it. I mean, you know, Brody was questionably a traitor to his country. Quinn never was. You know, I think Quinn was a hero through and through. I don't know. I texted you and you disagreed. Maybe she'll get it right the next time.
Carrie did see Brody as a hero, though. You know, like, I think she kind of did. Mom, she's like a delusional person.
But
she did see him as a hero. Like, I think she acknowledged that, you know, put on a suicide vest. But anyways, people don't really want to hear about Brody, I guess. But I'm interested in what you have to say about, maybe she'll get it right the next time. Do you think that they're going to introduce another love interest for Carrie?
I would imagine so. You know, she's had a love interest pretty much the whole show. And I can't see them taking, you know, the last two seasons of the whole thing and not having something happen. So I think Carrie might be a little shy about jumping in, although Carrie sometimes has no inhibitions about stuff. But, you know, she might take a little bit of time away, but I'm guessing that she's going to want to have somebody else in her life.
You think?
Yeah, even though, I think. Kinda like especially if she gets Franny back.
Yeah. The Carrie we saw, though, after, I mean, I respect your thoughts about, you know, watching the end of the episode and seeing what they were doing with Carrie. Where's Quinn's place in that? I think it kind of leads to like a chicken or the egg scenario. Yeah, like, were they always intending to do that, or did they do that because they did the other thing? But I think that's interesting. And I think that's interesting. I'm interested in hearing your reaction, your thoughts on the second half of the episode. So I think we can all agree, like, the plot was kind of like weird, you know, like the conspiracy, like assassination plot, whatever. It was kind of a mess to me, but.
So where does the second, so when you say second half, does that start 6 weeks later.
Yeah, the 6 weeks later stuff.
Yeah.
What okay. did you... The show does time jumps a lot. Like, they'll yeah. jump forward into the future. And usually what they do is they stick Carrie emotionally in a place you wouldn't expect. So I remember actually very vividly watching the season 3 finale. And again, they did a time jump right after Brody died. This time, I think it was 4 months. And you're expecting Carrie to be like a literal like mess on the floor, like not feeding herself, like just like not being uh-huh. able to like survive yeah. as a human. And she's like really put together and like is advancing at her job and kind of like has her shit together. And you're like, that's kind of surprising. Like, that's not really what you would think. And what they showed here is Carrie, 6 weeks after Quinn's death, is a little bit in the place that she was at the beginning of season 4, like drone queen mode, when she was like all work all the time. And it was really kind of like a facade and like a suit of armor to kind of mask a larger grief. I kind of felt like they walked away from that a little bit at the end after the Keen stuff was revealed. But I'm interested to hear what your thoughts were about what they did with Carrie, and especially to what you think of her reaction to Quinn's death. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that immediately when he died, I thought her reaction, you know, she was shocked along with everybody else. Six weeks later, you know, I have to say, everybody deals with grief in such different ways. And it's interesting that people like to judge other people for how they deal with grief and how, you know, they don't think that the way that you're showing grief is the right way. And it's just, so I think Carrie's grieving. I think that she's going to grieve for every person that she loses in a slightly different way, I'm guessing. I think most of us do. I was not at all surprised that she hadn't chosen to speak at his memorial service. I'm assuming it was a choice she had. And that she'd been quiet about things and she was moving forward, that, like, you know, everything was fine, maybe on the outside. And then, you know, drunk Max shows up and takes her down to the basement and she starts going through stuff. And, you know, I vividly remember when my dad died, you know, my mom, like the very next day, went through his closet with garbage bags. So that didn't at all seem bizarre to me that she would be doing that. And then she found the book. I don't know. And then, you know, that opened up a little bit of the emotion that she hadn't let herself feel. It didn't seem as odd to me as I think it felt to a lot of other people.
No, I think it didn't feel odd to me either. Then again, I'm a Carrie apologist, so I would find a way to defend almost any behavior she showed. The part about the garbage bags is really interesting. I think what people took issue with is, like, you're literally throwing his stuff in the garbage. But it's really more of a, it's kind of like a self-preservation thing. It's like she's, like, clearing out, like, that part of herself.
Well, yeah, which I mean, I really figured painful. Out that's why my mother yeah, did it.
It's really painful.
So she didn't have to look at the things yeah. that reminded her of my father.
Yeah.
In ways that were uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about the whole symbolism and metaphor of the basement, I really liked that scene in the episode where Max comes in and she has this brief moment of panic before she's like, go to the basement. And then the social worker comes or whatever, and they get all that over mm-hmm. with. And then she realizes she has to go back to the basement. And there's this shot right after that is she opens the door. It's shot from the bottom of the stairs looking up. And she opens the door and she kind of pauses and kind of like, she kind of steals herself for like making the descent down there. And as I was watching it with Ashley, like the day after, I was like, she compartmentalizes all the stuff that she doesn't want to have to deal with and says, go to the basement, you know? And it's a very sort of literal metaphor. And I don't know, it was really sad. It's always sad to me kind of seeing what Carrie is left with, at, you know, because she's usually left with nothing. And you know, at the beginning of the season, remember when we watched the premiere together and I was like really upset after it. And
yeah, I mean, so actually, and so this time she has nothing. I'm not sure what kind of a job she has, as she still doesn't have Franny back. She, you know, where is she living? Is she going to be in New York? She's in a real unsettled place, I think, more than she has been at the end of any of the other seasons.
I would say ever. Yeah. I mean, you're totally right. She's lost her daughter. She's lost the man that she loves. She has lost, I think, the promise of a career that felt like inspiring to her. You know, like ever since Carrie left the CIA, she's kind of been on this search for a sense of purpose outside of the CIA. Like, I think she knew, like, she was really good at what she did. She was really good at her job, but there was a moral aspect of it to her that just became unpalatable, which is ironic because Carrie is not the most moral person. But I think she decided that she had to shift direction. And I think since then she's been trying to channel her, like, her gifts and her talents in ways that would kind of affect change and in a way that didn't keep her up at night, sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have that. And then when you see like the scene that she had with Saul and that relationship remains broken, it's just really sad. Like, but I'm likely to feel really sad for her. The fact that you feel sad for her too.
So we know, I mean, at this point, we don't think that the writers know what the next two seasons are going to bring, right? We don't, for all we know, they haven't even decided what next season is going to bring.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that, you know, they've certainly created a whole bunch of backstory and a whole lot of character for Carrie, but they don't have a lot of, they kind of have to start a little bit from scratch to help her put things back together again.
Yeah. I was thinking about that over the weekend too, is at times I feel like they're writing Carrie as a heroine, you know, as the heroine of the story. Of course she's the protagonist, but is she a hero? You know, are they writing her as a intrinsically good person with someone that you can root for?
Yeah.
Like it, I mean, that's what I want to believe because I love the character so much. And for it to end in a way that was different from that would be really upsetting for me after like investing all of this time into it. Or are they writing her as someone who is an anti-hero? Someone who is, displays more often than not lack of regard for other people's feelings, who will do kind of what it takes to get ahead or to get her own way. Like, there are times when I'm like, she's like maybe like a pathological liar, like what's going on? And it's weird because they'll vacillate back and forth between these two ideas of who Carrie is. Like at the beginning of the season, you know, after the premiere I watched, I was like really upset by it. I think I was upset for a lot of reasons, but the way that they were presenting Carrie is like, I could see the pain she was in caring for Quinn and like kind of projecting this sort of smothering like love onto him. Like it was too much. She wasn't listening to what he had to say. Like all these things that it was painful to watch the conflict between them. Like that was painful for me. And then there were points during the season where you can see her earnestly trying to care for Quinn or trying to care for her daughter, trying to like affect change in the world by like altering policy, trying to do right by, you know, wrongly accused Muslim Americans. Like, there are times when she displays very heroic qualities. And then I kind of feel like the part that was really frustrating was they had Carrie acknowledge what she had done to sort of cause Brody's death at the end of season three. They draw kind of a straight line between that and whether or not the only reason Carrie is at all caring for Quinn is guilt over what happened at the end of season five and waking him up mm-hmm. from the coma, which became a way bigger plot point than I ever would have imagined. But, you know, and then at the end, she kind of pulls Quinn back into the, you know, into danger. I don't think she did it intentionally. And then, you know, like the trash bags and the not speaking as memorial, like there's lots of reasons for people to hate her. And
all right. So you asked the question, you know, are they setting her up to be a hero or an anti-hero?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, at this point, I'm not sure. And I wonder if, you know, if maybe they're trying to make the point that you can't really be a hero anymore. I will say, I think Quinn was a hero.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you could say that about any of the other characters. I'm kind of like running through.
No, you could not.
The main ones. I really don't think that you can. And some aren't even anti-heroes. They're just villains. So I'm not sure that they know yet. I hope, you know what? I think that it would be satisfying to understand at least what they were intending to do with, she's the main character for sure. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I do hope that over the course of the next two seasons, they figure out, you know, where they want to take her, and they do that in a, you know, reasonably good way.
Yeah. I think my expectations are a little bit higher. Like, it's got to be more than reasonably good. Like, it's got to be, like, great. And,
well, no, I don't know after watching the last two seasons play out. I mean, so it's interesting, you know, getting back to Quinn. So it's interesting, given all that had happened around Quinn, that they were willing to let him go at the end of last season. And I didn't see a problem with that. It made perfect sense to me.
It made perfect sense to you because you felt like the larger story that they were telling for Carrie and maybe for Carrie and Saul.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the letter. Yeah. I mean, all of that. It made perfect sense to me.
I mean, like,
he was dead.
Totally. I was like, the letter. Like, the letter alone is like, that was reason enough for me to be like, he's not coming back.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, I don't know at all what's going on with the show. Like, the fact that there's two more seasons, I'm sort of taking your word for that. But it seems like in the big old scheme of things that maybe this season wasn't one they really planned to have. That this whole season sort of came about because they decided to keep Quinn alive at the end of season five.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because, I mean, they certainly couldn't have had this season. Like, there isn't any possible way that they could have had this season without Quinn. And I think we all understand that, like, is that knowledge that he wasn't intended to be in it when they wrote season five, right? He was going to die. And they brought him back to life.
Yeah, I think they planned to kill him at the end. Well, yeah. I think the way they tell it is that we were kind of wishy-washy about it, but I was like, it seemed pretty freaking clear to me that it, like, he was going to die. But then they brought him back. Like, they left a window. I thought the window was a lot smaller than they eventually made it seem.
Right.
But I mean, that's a good point. Like, this maybe wasn't a season they were like intending to write. When they talk about the conception of it being in New York, they're basically just like, all of our actors just wanted to work where they lived. Like, that's the reason that it's in New York.
Because they'd been abroad for a couple of years.
And then they
and
like reverse engineered like a storyline where that could work. And so what they say about the last two seasons is that A, they have to get Carrie back into the intelligence game. Like, she's been out for two seasons, and I think that they have very much exhausted kind of the narrative juice of what that could be. And they want to go back abroad, and they acknowledge that the last two seasons, I think they're going to tell as a, like a single kind of a story and like a unit. So, I mean, I have no idea what they're going to do. I can't even fathom it. I guess I really hope that they commit to a direction for Carrie that's satisfying. And I could probably even accept that they take her on. It's like a darker path than, you know, the part of me that loves her for just being like a magical person would want. But I think they need to commit to a direction for her in order for the overall journey of her the character to be fulfilling and satisfying. I hope that they do more with Carrie and Saul, because that's a relationship that, like, even as I don't really like Saul anymore, the Carrie Saul scene that they had in the finale, like, I just loved that scene. Like, they just play so well together.
Yeah, I'm actually, we don't talk about this much because I know that you don't want to hear it, but I'm a Saul fan.
Yeah.
I had a lot of respect for him for deciding to stand up to things. I thought it was, you know, interesting how he kind of got himself back to a good spot, and then, you know, I'm guessing he's in prison now. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how he and Dar. But I think that, you know, if you look at the characters that they've, you know, kept around, I think they're setting up, you know, some good spy plotting stuff to happen in the next season.
Well, I think they'll necessarily need to introduce some more characters. Like, yeah, they can't.
But, you know, they've kept the key ones.
Yeah.
For making that happen.
I think the last thing that I really want is for them to kind of honor and integrate into the final two seasons, like, Quinn in some way, just like at least the memory of the character.
Yeah.
Carrie kind of balked at that at the, you know, in the last half of the episode, and seemed really uncomfortable with doing that and very resistant. And I'm really interested to see how they honor and respect the fact that she did love him and they had a relationship that lasted for 5 years, you know, that was really meaningful to her and to the show, you know, like in a larger sense.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Franny when she comes back. There was a reference to Hop.
There was a reference to Hop.
Yeah, I was surprised about that, actually.
Yeah, I think I voted against that. Or not, like, against it, but I just
didn't think
it would happen.
I didn't vote for that.
Yeah, I was thinking as I was watching Big Little Lies, the kid who plays Reese Witherspoon's daughter has red hair, and she is like a really good child actor. And I was like, if they age, you know, Franny, you know, like a year or something, which they could totally do. Like, I think she was playing 6 years old, and it was like fairly convincing. You know, I was like, they could, you know, maybe pull that off. And then Franny, like, could actually, you know, have a real presence on the show and not just be shipped off in the middle of every season to
I think it's really hard with child actors to have them play a real meaningful role. But
that's one of, like, the criticisms I've had with season 5 and season 6 is, like, they gave Carrie a kid, and initially I was very resistant to the idea of Carrie being a mother, and then I grew to love it. And they gave her a kid, but never really settled into the idea of Carrie having a kid. Like, there always had to be some, like, larger risk to it. And not really risk surrounding just general sort of day-to-day risks of, like, what's it like being a mother, but, like, mortal peril kind of a thing. And,
I think, you know, it gets back to, they don't really have the end in mind as they when they set out to tell the story. And so they knew it was going to be a fantastic twist. I mean, I still remember when I saw that drawful of the pregnancy tests.
Yeah, me too.
And you're like, oh my God, she's pregnant and it's Brody's. And, you know, so fabulous point of story, right? Mm-hmm. But then, uh-oh.
And like, then, oh, I, man, now we actually have to give her a kid and, like, do that whole thing.
Exactly, right? And part of me was thinking because, you know, she was pregnant that whole time she was in the hospital going through all that crazy stuff. Oh, Mom,
you have
stuff.
No idea the conspiracy theories we spun off of that drawer full of 30 used pregnancy tests. That was, like,
anyway,
DEFCON zero in the Homan fandom of, like, panic and freak out over this because I don't think a lot of people, at least that I was engaging with, wanted the kid to be Brody's. And so that was just like, what? Like, why? No. And so we're just like, maybe it was like the guy that she had, Brody's. Like, the guy from the liquor store, you know, I was like, maybe it was him. Or just like, okay, so like, what are the timelines for this? Like, is it Brody's? Because how could she have been like in the psych ward for, anyways, went way down the rabbit hole on that.
Part of me was thinking that I was actually surprised when she ended up having a baby because it seemed like they tried really hard to get rid of the baby while she was pregnant, but that didn't happen. So then she has a baby and now what do we do with it? Which gets to, I don't think they have an end in mind.
And that doesn't bother you. It doesn't bother you to be watching a television show and investing.
Oh, no, I didn't say it didn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I would prefer that they had an end in mind, but so that they're writing toward something.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little bit through this season, knowing what I now know about the end of last season, that they didn't really, well, and they admitted they rewrote midway. That's just bizarre to me. I don't see how they can go into it, the idea of it, like, it's got an endpoint, and it seems like you kind of have to have an idea what the endpoint is.
I don't think that's how they operate.
Yeah. I guess that's just new to me. But, you know, I don't know, Sarah. I've watched a ton of TV shows that have ended, and some have ended, you know, happily and satisfyingly, and some have not. And I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the deal with television, is that, you know, you keep writing and trying to find new stories to tell and until you just run out of steam or they decide not to renew your show and then you have to end it. Maybe that's just how it works. This is the first TV show that I've ever been as close to as this one.
Yeah.
Like, I think having
I think it varies. I think some people have a larger idea in their head of, I mean, so, like, you know, when we were watching the Gilmore Girls revival, and there was this whole deal about how she, like, knew what the last four words of the entire series would be. And the last four words were, spoiler, Mom, yeah, I'm pregnant. Like, that implies, like, you kind of know, like, what's going to happen, right? It's more than just,
right,
I know what the last four words are. It's like, you know, like, I was also just watching, I watched last night the series finale of Girls, and the last season the main character becomes pregnant, which is very surprising to me, but the creator said, I've known since season two that's kind of what the end of the show would be, like, that's what the storyline would be. And, you know, I think that it varies. I think you're right. I think some people do continue writing until they say, we're not going to write anymore. But I think it's a luxury. I think it's a luxury to know. Like, it's a luxury for these writers right now to know that they have two seasons left to finish telling the story that they've been telling, you know, for the last 6 years and will eventually be mm-hmm. 8 years. Like, that's a luxury to know when is the time, like, when's the time end? And now they need to get to the business of saying, all right, at the end of season eight, where are we, and is that the end? how do we get there? And let's make sure that that's the story that we want to tell. And
yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, maybe they didn't have to do that in the very beginning. But at this point, I mean, they're 3/4 of the way done.
Mm-hmm.
And they really need now, I think, to figure out where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably be, so I guess I would probably be happier if they did whatever they're going to do in the next 2 seasons and they did that well and ended up someplace that I wasn't really happy about than if I ended up someplace I was really happy about in sort of a slipshod way.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely. So, like, I'd rather watch 2 brilliant seasons and Carrie, like, you know, ends in a way that wasn't kind of maybe my first choice, but they told it in just a really great way. Like, at the end of the day, I really just want to watch good television and I want to see a good story and I want the story to be told well and I want it to be well written and well acted and well directed. Yeah.
I mean, I've gotten an appreciation for that from you guys this season for sure.
Like, at the end of the day, that's what you want. And I think if the outcome they arrive at is different than what I'd envisioned in my head, that's fine. I'm not, you know, like, it's their vision. I think if you tell it well enough, you'll be able to convince me that, like, that was the right way to do it, even if it did, like, even if it doesn't end in a, you know, like, perfect way. So,
yeah.
For, like, the well-being of the characters, that is. Okay, so I guess one of the very last things I want to talk about, I want to kind of circle back to Carrie Quinn. So you've already said you believe they showed throughout the season that Carrie, you know, was in love with Quinn. And I eventually came to that same conclusion and that they had already, you know, shown that Quinn was in love with Carrie. Why then do you think they made the decision to kind of end that, you know, because they didn't follow through on the romance, like that they told a story between them for 5 seasons and about halfway through it became clear that they had romantic feelings for each other and they were mutual and not equally reciprocated, but that Quinn loved Carrie and Carrie was into him, you know, and, you know, they decided not to tell the end of that story. They really did end it kind of prematurely. And I'm kind of wondering why you think that happened.
Or maybe they did tell the end of the story. It ended. He died.
Sorry. They didn't follow through on what it would mean for Carrie and Quinn to be in a relationship together.
Yeah. And I don't know why they decided not to do that. Except that...
Is that something that you would have, like, enjoyed seeing?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm always into a good romance.
Right. But you weren't, like, maybe pining to see it?
No.
Okay. You don't feel...
I would have liked...
Deprived?
I don't feel cheated. Okay. No, yeah. I don't.
I'm not trying to be, like, to...
I feel like I'm getting set
no,
up.
No. That's what I was afraid that my questions like were
no, I
sounding
so I think
rhetorical,
that,
even though they're not. So,
yeah, I
really just want to hear.
Yeah,
your thoughts
I mean,
on
it would have been nice to see. I love a good kiss. I'm, you know, that would all be fine. But I'm okay that isn't where it went. I'm okay with that because I think that, you know, that Quinn's story had a good ending for where he was, and I'm okay with that. So
you feel like he had like a hero's ending, and that was
I totally
reflective
think he
of,
did.
I totally agree. He
I don't
he
think
had a
that,
hero's ending, and that was in he no.
When you die saving heroic, the president's yeah. life. I don't think that you can be more heroic than that.
I think what people are upset about is. He died not knowing that Carrie loved him, or at least they think so. And that, like, if you watch if you watch a show for Quinn, if you love his character, if you connect with him and relate to him, all you want is for him to feel like loved and like he belongs and like a part of something. And for Quinn, that was Carrie. Like, Carrie was his world in some senses, and he loved her so much. And I thought that's kind of what the scene with the pictures was about, when she's looking through photos of his kid. You know, this is like mm-hmm. one of the most important people in his life, and you can see him grow up through the years, and then she gets to the end, it's a picture of her. I interpreted that moment as, this is the moment where it all connects, that like she lost, like that's a huge loss for her, and how much did he love her, you know? And
yeah, and so sad that
it's sad that she wasn't able, I think, to express and articulate that in a way that was explicitly clear to him that she did love him. Like, that's, I don't know, it's sad. It's sad to me to think about it.
It is sad. It is.
After the finale, Rupert Friend did a lot of interviews, and he was asked, of course, about the Carrie Quinn relationship, and, you know, a lot of people want, like, a happy ending between them, and, you know, I kind of feel like on some level, if you're watching Homeland, like, you're not really expecting a happy ending, but...
right.
But his... the responses that he gave were really interesting, and it's very clear that he was not really like a fan of the Carrie Quinn relationship, and he dwelled a lot on their compatibility, and Claire Danes did that a lot over the years too, being like, yep, they love each other, they have a very powerful relationship, they trust each other, there's recognition between them, and they're two people who aren't recognized or seen in other people a lot, like their experiences and their likeness isn't often reflected back at them or accepted by their people, but it was for them. And that's what made the relationship so beautiful and so profound and so powerful. But they're too alike to ever like really last or be in a relationship. Like, they would always kind of qualify it with that bit, and really separating out love from compatibility. And the point that he was making was a lot about the penultimate episode and the scenes where Quinn confronts Carrie about waking him up in Berlin, and she's kind of like, look, like, I thought you would have information, and like, I'm really sorry, but like, I did what I did because I thought that it would, you know, save a lot of people's lives. And his, you know, stance was that Quinn is someone who, despite being assassin, has like a very strong moral code in terms of what is right and what is wrong. And Carrie has a moral code, but her moral code is different from his, and he like wasn't able to trust her after that happened. And that, and sort of tying that back to the fact that Quinn couldn't be with someone whose moral code was not compatible with his, and that was the case with Carrie.
So is it sadder that they never got together, or that maybe he never knew what Carrie felt? Or would it have been sadder if they'd gotten together and then ended up hurting each other in even, you know, more powerful ways? I don't know.
I think it's kind of sad if you believe in Rupert's interpretation of that relationship, that Quinn came, you know, eventually became distrusting of Carrie. Like, the disintegration of that is sad to me, the same way that the disintegration of like the trust mm-hmm. between Carrie and Saul is sad. Like, it's mm-hmm. it's sad to watch mm-hmm. something that's broken. And
yeah,
as no. much as, you know, like, this is I'm just sort of thinking out loud, but as much as season 6 was in some ways a departure from earlier seasons on the Carrie Quinn front, and the fact that they were open and vulnerable with each other and showed sides to the other that they had never shown before, like, it really was like a new phase in that relationship. And but at the same time, the weight of what had happened in previous seasons, like the weight of the fact that they came together so briefly at the end of season four and then, you know, missed each other by like a few hours and things were never the same. Or, you know, the fact that they came together in season five and then like, you know, wrong turn of fate almost, you know, like put him into a coma or, you know, like all these kind of little events. And you think, well, maybe if things had been different that, but I think you could feel like the weight of that in season six. And there was something a little bit, it was kind of broken in a way, and not in like an ugly way, but just in a way that, I don't know, it was different for them. They weren't, you know, necessarily the same people. I don't know. It was kind of sad now that I think about it. Like that to me was sad. Like it's sad that you know, the actor who plays Quinn says that by the end of Quinn's life, he doesn't trust Carrie. And the way that Quinn's life is that if he can't trust Carrie, then he can't trust anybody. And that is sad that he dies, you know, not perhaps knowing or believing that she loves him and also not being able to trust her.
I don't at all disagree. It was sad. It was.
Very sad.
I think that's the only episode of the season that I cried. So
I had kind of a delayed reaction. So
there's certainly a lot of emotion out on the blog, and
that's an understatement, Mom.
Yeah, I know. And so I hope that people that, you know, really want to watch Homeland can come around to it so that they can be there to see how the next season plays out. But
I think there's some,
although there's
some people who just say, I don't want to watch it anymore. And not because,
which is fine.
Yeah. Which is totally fine. And it's not just because Quinn died. It's because of a lot of other, you know, things that they came to not
like. Can I say, it is a TV show.
I know. That's what you always tell me. Say it's just a TV show, Sarah. And it is true. It's just a TV show. But I think for a lot of people, though, Quinn especially, the character of Quinn, took on a he took on a life of his own, and I've had my public battles with the character and the perception of the character, etc. But to a lot of people, he was a lot of really kind of important things beyond it just being a TV show, but kind of, I think, what he maybe represented just in like the larger scheme of things. Yes, he's a fictional character, but people get attached to fictional characters, and that's nothing to be, you know, ashamed of or anything like that.
Oh, goodness, no. You might recall the reaction I had when I can't even remember his name. He was married to Mary in Downton Abbey. Remember that?
Matthew.
Yeah, when Matthew died. Yeah, I gave up Downton Abbey for a while.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point. Like, what's happening is not totally unheard of in TV land.
Not at all. And then, you know,
it's also not unheard of to be like, that character died, I'm not watching that show anymore. You just said yourself that you've done that.
So, right, I did that. It took me 2 seasons, I think, to come back. And then I played a lot of catch up to get back to it. And then, you know, when Carrie couldn't commit to Aiden in Sex and the City, I gave that show up for a couple of seasons too. Yeah,
that was like really dark. Wait, was that the second time after when he had the short hair? Because the first time she cheated with Big, right?
Yeah.
And the second time,
this is when he'd kind of gotten his act together and he'd bought the place next door to her and they were trying to build, you know,
a bigger apartment. Oh God, that was so sad.
Yeah. See.
I didn't know that you gave up Sex and the City after it.
But I came back.
Yep. I didn't know that you gave it up. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, I was mad. I was really mad at her for that. Yeah. Really
See, mad. You have like a way richer sort of like TV past than I do. You're talking about giving up on shows because this or that happened. I never had that experience. Although I was talking to someone the other day of just about kind of the visceral reactions we have to TV shows, and made me think of, you know, it's now been more than 10 years, but the series finale of The OC, you remember when that aired? And
oh yeah,
so I was 15 years old. You I guess distraught. I was 15 years old. Distraught is the understatement of the century. First of all, it was like a beautiful series finale. It was so beautiful. And it, like, that's a show where you could tell like the creator actually knew where it would end, you know, probably from the very beginning, right? Like, you remember what happened, right?
Oh, yeah, like, certainly with a couple of the characters. Yeah. I'm not sure that you could have predicted what happened.
I think
with,
for like the main Julie ones. And- yeah, but I think for like the main ones you could tell like this, like that's how I wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally it. What he wanted to happen for Ryan.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And yes. it ended in a like extremely satisfying way, but my reaction to it was just to sob uncontrollably. I had like a straight up, I don't know, it was like an anxiety attack. Like, I could not breathe. I was crying so hard. And just because I was like, that's it. Like, it's over. It's never going to be back again. And I was thinking about that last night because I had watched the series finale of Girls. And that also had, in my opinion, had a really beautiful ending too. And I was thinking, like, what, you know, what would this, how is this show going to end? And am I going to get something as great as what that was? And I was like, I don't know. But I was like, straight up distraught is like not the right word. Like, I can't even describe. I was like crying and could not stop crying. And you had to like actually cradle me. You remember? Yes. You're nodding. Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh my God. I was 15, so.
I know. You might have written about it someplace.
Probably. I can look back now and be like, that was okay. Like, I was 15 years old, and that was like the first show that I...
It's hard to imagine being that affected by something.
Yeah. I think it's hard to imagine being so affected by something. But that's kind of like the goal. Like, the goal is to get, mm-hmm. is to be that.
I mean, I think that's the goal of good storytelling.
Yeah.
Which I mostly get from reading books, not from watching television or movies. But really, the only thing that I can compare it to, and it just seems so completely, it's so different. It's just in terms of the number of years that I spent was devoted to the Harry Potter series.
Yeah, I was
which started in the late
that.
90s mm-hmm. and didn't resolve until 2007.
Also the same year that The OC ended. It's a rough year.
That was a rough year for our family. but
I don't remember. So
story just
I,
was,
yeah, I don't remember how I was, I reacted to. I mean, I like loved the end, but I don't remember what my like actual emotional or physical reaction was to it. I think I thought it was just really perfect ending, like really beautiful.
So yeah, so I don't know what the next two. I really couldn't say. It's hard for me to imagine. And maybe it'll become, you know, maybe like one episode into the next season, I'll be, oh, now I, you know, but at this point, so much just seems to be, it's sort of like they did some, like they burned everything down. And so I'm not sure where they're going to start rebuilding again.
Yeah. That's a really astute observation. That's exactly what they did. They wiped a lot of stuff out, and I don't know mm-hmm. what it's going to look like when season 7 starts back up again.
Well, I join with the ocean blue, or run into a savior true, and shake hands laughing, and walk through the night straight to the light, holding the love I've known in my life, and no hard feelings. Lord knows they haven't done much good for anyone. Kept me afraid and cold, with so much to have and hold. Under the curving sky,
I have no end.